oil and gas that's under the property can be lost in one of two ways. One is through the drainage, even in a ownership in place state, so that the title to the oil and gas is subject to defeasance. In states that are non-ownership, you can lose the oil and gas not only through the rule of capture, but through the common law notion of abandonment, or, in Louisiana, the civil law concept of liberty of prescription, or in other states, whether of one type or the other, through a process of statutory termination of dormant mineral interest. Those are called dormant mineral interest acts, and they are themselves difficult to interpret. Ohio has gone through two iterations of their dormant mineral interest act with substantial differences in 2005 over what they had done in, I think, 1991 or so, or 1989. Other states have grappled with the rules that are appropriate under the statute for notice and opportunity for hearing for the parties. Severed mineral rights you were introduced to, and yes, you have heard they are, the severed mineral rights are subject to or allowed an easement, a right of use of the surface to produce the oil and gas, inherent in the conveyance. The consequence of that is you are then subject to having loss of the land that you, as the landowner, now had. This gets into theoretical questions as to pore space underground. Who owns the pore space where the mineral rights have been severed? The better view, I think, is that, and several courts have so ruled, the pore space is actually just a hole, and the landowner owns the solid material around the hole. So if you're asking who can inject carbon dioxide or other waste material into that, the severed mineral owner doesn't get to have the say on that unless it will interfere with their rights to use of so much of the land as may be necessary for the production of oil and gas or other material. Again, that is subject to differing rulings and approaches by different states. So if you're a severed mineral owner, you tend to look at those implied easements or express rights as zombie rights, where 150 years after the reservation of minerals or conveyance of minerals, someone may come knocking on your door and saying, I'm Rumpelstiltskin and I have come for the claim the baby, or whatever it may be, or Merlin and King Arthur. Rule of capture, illustrated here with a introductory slide that shows what could be regarded as two separate tracts of land. And there we have Daniel Day-Lewis in the movie There Will Be Blood, who gives in very emphatic description the rule of capture. It is, I drink your milkshake, and then I pound your head with a bowling pin. The real basis for the rule of capture does not come so much from a theory that we wild birds or animals, in effect, skittering around underground that cannot be owned until they're captured. It really comes from the little red hen. If you recall that from your childhood days, the little red hen is the one who says, who will come and help me grow the grain? Who will help me plant it? Who will help me water it? Who will fertilize it? Who will help me gather it? Who will help me extract it from the ground? Who will help me prepare it? And very few people come forward to help the little red hen. And finally, when the bread is baked or the cake is done, who will help me now eat it? And everyone wants to claim it's their bread and their cake at that point. So too it is with oil and gas wells. If someone puts a $5 million hole in the ground and we're not entirely certain where it might be draining, it ill behooves the neighbor to come in and say, well, I wouldn't put up any money for drilling this well, but I want my share of the production. And you say, okay, well, I want your share of the cost. Well, you can take those well costs out of my share of production. And you say, but what if it's a dry hole? Well, by golly, then take my share of the cost out of the production, leading to state agencies saying that if we give free oil and gas, in effect, to neighboring landowners under the rule of capture, there's not going to be much incentive of people to participate in the drilling of the wells or leasing the land, and that will stymie development. So states, to deal with this problem, have come up with pooling, unitization, and options for landowners to be forced into, and other working interest owners, forced into sharing the cost and production from a well. And that will be later discussion. Effects of rule of capture. Rule of capture leads to drilling too many wells and too rapid a production under the traditional vertical model. It can lead to coning, fingering, so that water intrudes prematurely into the well bore, that natural gas is dissipated that would otherwise be the driving mechanism that sustains production. And so states stepped in to start regulating the excessive drilling and the too close association of wells and too rapid production.